a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Joe and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Straight starts of six innings or more, Hunter Brown has been phenomenal for the Astros, and he walks off leading 4-1.
And the Astros went on to win 8-1. Hello and welcome aboard, Gallant and George. It is Thursday, July 25th, 2024. Another dub, finally one over the A's to avoid a sweep, plus a loss by the Seattle Mariners, who lost again to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, has the Astros a full game in first place, Joe.
There we go. Not percentage points anymore. They're actually in first place because, oh my gosh, are the Mariners terrible, Paul.
Yeah, they are falling apart, and it's very thankful that that's happening. The Texas Rangers have won four in a row. Meanwhile, as we keep an eye on the American League West, they beat Chicago 10-2. You can actually get it on your Fubo TV package, Rangers game, so I had that on. Looked up at one point, the White Sox were up 2-1. Looked up again, and the Rangers were up 10-2.
Yeah, when you sent that text to the group chat about the score, that was the first time I was like, oh, the White Sox fully collapsed on themselves again. Yeah. Not a surprise. Yeah, they play again today. Max Scherzer's on the mound for the Rangers. So if he's better, they'll probably get a sweep, and they'll inch a little bit closer to the Astros as they get ready for the Dodgers.
Could be 2.5 games back. Yeah, that's a little bit annoying to have in the back of your mind, with Houston hosting the Dodgers this weekend in a rematch of the 2017 World Series. But let's start this show not talking about the win as much as just Hunter Brown. So, as you heard from TK there, six innings for the 12th consecutive start. 11 of those starts have been quality starts. And yesterday, eight strikeouts, eight hits, one walk, one run. His ERA has dropped from 9.78 May 5th to 4 as we talk today, on a day where the Houston Astros have off. He's been awesome of late. So awesome that Astros manager Joe Espada had this to say of his recent play after the game. Here is Joseph.
You know, we wanted to come here and win the series, but we didn't accomplish that. But we won a big game. You know, Hunter Brown set the tone from the beginning. He was really, really good. Six strong, eight punchies. He's kind of have that ace feeling to him. You know, we are expecting him to go out there and deliver what he just did. We knew all along that is in him, and now he's starting to turn the corner. And he's starting to have that swag where he knows, hey, my team needs to win. And he did that. He delivered.
Punchies is a fun word for strikeouts.
It's a great one.
Does sound a little Gen Z. I'll take it.
It yes.
I'll hijack it.
Yes.
I want people like our intern out there to have to be recreative and find their own stuff. I'm stealing all your stuff. On God, for real, no cap.
Lots of punchies.
It's a bussin' term to describe strikeouts, but that's not what I want to focus on. Joe Espada said Hunter Brown is pitching like an ace.
He is. Since May 5th, he is the third best ERA in the American League. Only Garrett Crochet of the White Sox and Corbin Burns of the Orioles have a better ERA than Hunter Brown since May 5th. So it's not even just the June 1st turnaround that so many have pointed to. He's been good since May. He was just a disaster at the start of the season. But what they've changed in his mechanics, I heard the radio broadcast talking about this with Justin Verlander, was really the one that pointed out to Hunter Brown what was going wrong with his mechanics versus what was good versus what was bad now at the time, and how it added a mile and a half to pretty much all of his pitches. Alex Bregman was the one that told him to incorporate this, you know, this two-seamer to his arsenal that's made him so much better. He's completely turned around his season and maybe his career, because the ace word felt millions and millions and millions of miles away for Hunter Brown at the end of last season, at the start of this season.
Yeah, and I still don't think he's an ace.
I don't think it is either.
I hate it when the Astros do this stuff, and I get it. Like, as you laid out, he has been really awesome. he has been one of the top three pitchers statistically in baseball over this stretch. But the first couple of weeks of the season happened, and he's been doing this largely against teams that aren't very good. I know you can only do what you are presented with being able to do. You can only throw against the teams you're scheduled to throw against. But I don't like that word being thrown around so loosely. I mean, we're not looking at Hunter Brown as the ace of the Astros staff. And I suppose it's subjective what even is an ace. What is a woman? What is an ace? Truly.
Which one of those is more confusing to you?
Great question. If we're talking about an ace, I feel like we got to be talking about one of the best pitchers in baseball. I think an ace is what every team would like to have, but I don't think every single team has an ace. I think you know an ace when you see it, and I feel like I shouldn't have to describe it, even though we are in a communications industry and we're supposed to explain how we feel about things. You know when someone is an ace. Justin Verlander a couple of years ago when he won the Cy Young, that was ace stuff. From Hunter Brown this year, of late, he's been great. Ronel Blanco, all season long, he's been great. Would you call either of those two aces?
No. No, I would not. Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, what those guys have been, that's an ace. I think you're right. You don't have to describe it. You know it when you see it. And it's funny thinking about Hunter Brown versus a guy we'll talk about so much over this show and the foreseeable future is C.J. Stroud. You, with a quarterback, I feel like we anoint them very early. And most of the time with a quarterback, we feel comfortable doing that. With a pitcher in baseball, to be an ace, I don't feel like you can earn that quickly. I think you have to have playoff success. You have to have more than one season of success to earn that title of an ace. It's just not handed out in baseball like we hand out the word star or superstar in basketball and football. It's a different conversation. And he's not that guy yet. And the first task is definitively say that Hunter Brown is the best pitcher on this team. I don't think you can do that even still.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So it's like, if you're not definitively the best pitcher on this team, unless it's Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander in 2019, you can't say someone's an ace until they're definitively at least the number one guy on their team, and then you can move to the next step of the conversation. He's awesome. He's been incredible. Ace-like stuff, yes. Ace material, yes. Ace prospect, kind of. He wasn't even like the number one. He's not Paul Skeens. He's not one of these elite-level prospects coming up to the bigs when he came up. He was the guy that everyone wanted. Could he be on his way? I sure hope so. I sure hope he is. But I'm not ready to buy that he is an ace just yet.
Throw out, yeah, he never will be. I hate it.
Really?
That we. Yeah, he'll never be an ace. Come on.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Come on. Look at what he was earlier in the year. How much better is someone like that going to get?
It's just the difference between what he was early in the year and now is so drastic.
Yeah, because he's going up against teams that aren't very good. I mean, if he was going up against the Dodgers this weekend, and you said it yesterday, okay, we'd actually have a test here. But come on, we got to raise our expectations. We got to raise our standards here. We've watched seven straight ALCSs, and here the Astros are with their vague injury descriptions to us. And Joe Espada, I get it. He's being optimistic here. He's being supportive of his guy. Ace, eight hits against the A's. The A's had eight hits yesterday.
That's why I don't think it's – I think it's unfair to say he can't be, because to counter your argument with your own argument –
he's going to be one of the best pitchers in baseball?
I'm not the best pitchers in baseball. Could be an ace on a staff, yes. The elite ace, because ace.
Okay, this is where we differ.
Yes, ace is a loose term now, because I hear what you're saying. Ace is a term that when we were growing up was saved for Pedro and Randy Johnson and those top guys. I do feel like the conversation is changed a little bit. Is he going to be what Paul Skeens is going to be? No. Is he ever going to be Justin Verlander? I'm going to say no. But can he be the best pitcher on a team that can win a World Series? He does have the stuff right now, it looks like, to be that.
I can't even go on a team that can win a World Series. A best pitcher on a staff, sure. Somewhere else, sure. On a team that's going to win a World Series, if Hunter Brown's your guy, you're effed. You're not winning it.
You really think so still?
Yeah, yeah.
You're not there yet?
How would I get there?
Even like the thought of it. Because I'm not there yet either.
No, the thought is not there. Again, I have high standards. Some people I just put in a box. No offense. And we do that to a lot of people in life. No doubt about it. But I don't see it.
So for him to get there, is it the playoff success that matters? It's like, do what you're doing now when it matters the most, because that is a big hurdle, right?
Playoff success would be great, but I want to start with against good teams this year.
Yeah.
Regular season.
Hopefully, next time you face the Orioles, Hunter Brown, he gets a shot at the Orioles kind of a thing.
I would think in August, he's going to have an opportunity, given all the good teams that the Astros are going to play over the course of that month. But look, I'm not trying to dump on Joe Espada here, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I just think we got to hold that word in higher regard. I don't think every single team has an ace. I know every single team thinks that it has an ace. Every team has to, by default, have a best pitcher. But, yeah, that just annoyed me after an 8-1 win yesterday.
I don't think you're being a Debbie Downer. I think you just have high standards, and that's okay. It's okay to have high standards.
I'm running out of options.
Yeah, nah, I wasn't going to go there.
I mean, that's part of it.
They have high standards, or you have high standards?
I have high standards. However, person I went on two dates with, feel like I'm being ghosted right now.
Oh,
they were two good dates.
That's a bummer.
I mean, that's
sorry to hear that.
Don't be sorry.
Well, I know, but
I've changed the logic. It's their loss.
You're right.
It's their loss. This is what happens. You go to the gym 3 days in a row. You start taking pre-workout. Ooh!
Go to training camp.
So many endorphins. Oh yeah, waking up early.
Like, you're grooving. Right
I haven't slept in one day this week.
Even today. There's no training camp today.
No, I got up at 6, went to the gym, and then put my stuff together.
Good for you, Paul.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. We're evolving as a person. Maybe I'll be an ace someday.
Can you get there still?
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, clearly, no radio station has viewed me as an ace.
All you have to do is find someone that believes enough to be an ace. Even if you're not, if they believe, that's all that matters. Oof. As long as they believe.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know what some of the other stations were believing.
Well, you'll find it. Someone will believe that you're an ace.
I hope.
Some lady will find you.
I hope. I'm talking in a little game called love. I'm talking a little game called radio.
I know.
I'm talking both.
I'm focused on the love part.
Oh yeah, I know. Because Middle management Joe does not. The views of Paul Gallant do not reflect the views of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 or Joe George of the Gallant and George radio program. He's Joe George of Paul Gallant. Does every team actually have an ace? What is an ace? What is a woman? Just kidding. Don't answer the latter question. We'll hang up on you. But also up next, it's another rousing edition of baseball this afternoon today because the Yankees are falling apart and something really funny happened in a Red Sox-Rockies game yesterday. Stick around.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
A text from the 936. There's four aces in a deck. Does that mean there should be four in the league? The way I look at it, yeah.
Interesting. I've never thought of it like that, but I like this.
Yeah, because when I think of the word ace, I don't think of the cards. I think of who's the best combat pilot.
Yeah.
I believe that term, as far as aviation is concerned, became a thing back during World War I. You had the Red Baron, infamously, of the German Air Force back in World War I. But I forgot about the whole aces are in a deck of cards.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so we got Garrett Crochet, Corbin Burns, Tarek Skubal, Paul Skeens. Four best pitchers in baseball. I'm ready to put Paul Skeens there already.
Paul Skeens is there.
I can't wait to see him pitch against the Astros. This kid's incredible.
And there's part of me, I know Mason Miller is just a reliever. There's a part of me that wants to put Mason Miller in there. I really enjoy watching Mason Miller pitch. And I don't say that about many relievers.
Oh. He just throws cast.
Right. I mean, relievers used to be the bane of my existence. A reliever coming into a game, relievers were always the ones who were the slowest to pitch the ball.
Yeah.
Like, that was always my big issue. Like some guy who's got like a 5 ERA is taking like 30 minutes to pitch. He's like a fatty boom batty. He's like spitting tobacco and adjusting his nuts the whole game. The whole time he's up on the hill.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we went through when the pitch clock was coming and everyone did the breakdown, it was like Ryan Pressly had like the most time in between pitches in all of baseball.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I was like, man, I guess you don't realize it in the moment always, but then you think back and you're like, hey, he's always out there for quite a while.
I used to hand count.
Really?
Yeah, I used to hand count.
The pitch clock is the best thing to ever happen to baseball.
Yeah.
Straight up. It's made the game so much better.
I love that a lot of the baseball people have quieted down on it. I mean, the only pushback is now, oh, well, that's the reason all these injuries are happening. And I don't buy that.
No, I don't buy it either. I really don't.
I think everyone's just throwing with crazy velocities and whipping their elbows around like it's essentially, you know, one of those things that you see outside a car dealership. Those little parachute men, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Their arms are looking like that when they're throwing the ball.
Also, just an observation.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think we've had that, you know, pitch clock conversation in a few months. So
it's been a while.
Maybe it's more about, you know, how these teams handle spring training.
Mm-hmm.
To what's causing these injuries, because
could be that
they seem to have all stopped. Just an observation.
Another 281 asks if we give any credence to him using that pitch he hadn't used for a while and getting rid of that pitch everybody was raking out of the yard. That pitch is great, and it could continue to be great. I am just expecting the other shoe to drop on that pitch because baseball is such a long season. There's a lot of opportunities for someone out there to take a look at what he's throwing and figure out how it works. I mean, it's great because, hey, he's got a pitch that goes in and he's got a pitch that goes out as opposed to just a pitch that goes away. I mean, that, for those who don't know the science of it, that's what this pitch does. This fastball goes towards the hitters where the other one went away from them. That's why I think Adolis Garcia got plunked a couple of times when Hunter Brown pitched against them.
That's where I think with the ace conversation, you want to see more than one season of success most of the time. And you want to see playoff success because in the playoffs, teams, they really have the time to grind on the tape and to look at what guys are coming at you with. So teams will have a better read when you get to the postseason of what Hunter Brown's capable of. And if he can have success there, that's a huge sign. And then if he goes into next season, and to what you're saying is that this pitch doesn't get hit next year and he continues this level of success, then that's when the ace conversation really, really ramps up. The exception to the rule, not to bring him up again, is Paul Skeens, because I know I'm being a little hypocritical here of Hunter Brown's not there yet, but Paul Skeens is.
But
Paul Skeens is like the Patrick Mahomes of prospects. So it's he gets it.
He has delivered from the start.
Yeah, he's exempt from this conversation. But if Hunter Brown can have playoff success and success in 2025, then I think this conversation really elevates into is he an ace? Just not there quite yet.
You know they are when you see it, and you see it with Skeens.
Mm-hmm.
And I have barely watched much Skeens. I'm a much bigger fan of Olivia Dunn, strong, independent, powerful woman. Mm. So we do this segment every now and then, and it's basically a way for us to take a look at what's happening, big picture-wise, in baseball. You know, we are in the midst of summer. How about an episode of Baseball This Afternoon Today?
This is Baseball Today, This Afternoon, This Week.
All right, guys. Have you seen how bad the New York Yankees are playing?
Real bad.
We've been roasting the Mariners, but the Yankees are an AL East worst 10-22 since June 15th. Last night, a video clip of Gerrit Cole getting mad is going viral.
Very, very viral. I've watched it. Okay, I'm going to try to be realistic now. 70 times.
70.
I just keep watching on loop because it's so funny. The way his chin gets a little fat as he's about to scream. Like, it's just...
Did you not like Gerrit Cole?
No, I had to like him while he was here.
You had to like him while he was here?
Yeah, because I work for the flagship, but I think he's a whiny ass who mostly chokes in the playoffs. So,
I mean, he was good in the 19 World Series, no?
Yeah, he was.
And it was perhaps the biggest mistake of A.J. Hinch's career to not bring him back in Game 7 as a reliever. And it might have led to Gerrit Cole, just for the sake of being fair,
mm-hmm.
putting on the Scott Boras hat as opposed to the Astros hat for his media availability.
100%.
And I know that has pissed a lot of Astros fans off forever. I get it. I don't think it was a great look. I could kind of get being angry about it in the moment at the same time. Do you think that he has had a single thought wondering if he should have come back to the Astros for significantly less than he's worth?
Yes, I do. I know he grew up a Yankees fan, but it hasn't gone well there. I mean, he's been pretty terrible since he came back from his injury this year. He's got over a 5 ERA.
This year he has struggled, for sure.
I mean, he's had great success there, for sure, for the most part, but the team hasn't. And while you have two of the best players in baseball in your lineup, in Judge and Soto, and you're probably going to lose in the first round of the playoffs again.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the organization that he grew up loving, I would imagine. Because they would just pay $1 billion to fix their issues right now, and they don't do that anymore.
They still, for what it's worth, have a pretty good record, but they no longer look like a lock to be AL East champions or wild card. It feels like they might be the top wild card instead. Aaron Boone, old Air Bear, he's still employed.
Somehow.
And quotes like this are really riling up the Yankee faithful. Here he is getting a little bit snippy. Ooh, he even drops a cussy here.
I'm not defining. We got to play better, okay? We have it right in front of us. We're a really good team that has played of late. We need to be better. I'm not going to define stretch this or that. We got to go win, mm-hmm. right? And we're right there. You know, we're watching, you know, other teams struggle around us. We know we got to be better. Okay.
Are you convinced?
No.
He slammed the table.
He did.
He said, we're playing bleepy.
I can't find it now, but someone put this super mashup together of Aaron Boone and every single time they've played poorly, and he says, it's right in front of us. And he's said it over 10 times as the Yankees manager. It's just his, what's the one that Kamala says? I can't pronounce. I can't remember what she says.
Hang on. I actually, because happy Kamala Harris Day, everybody. It is Kamala Harris Day, per Lena Hidalgo. What can be unburdened by what has been? I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
It's she's confident about it.
But she says that all the time, and Aaron Boone says it's right in front of us all the time. Mm. So it's right in front of him to lose again.
Aaron Boone, while still thinking the Yankees are playing bleepy of late, also does like some of what he's seeing out of the Yankees.
Even one of the things I really like tonight about is how hooked up we were in that dugout in the eighth and ninth inning when it wasn't going well. And the level of at-bats and not giving in even in the end. And the guys on the top step, like, pulling for one of another as they take a tough pitch or put a good swing on a ball. You know, I was pleased to see that. Like, you know, we're hooked up. We want to make it happen. We're all frustrated. But I'm not worried about the compete level with these guys.
So they're trying hard. They're just not winning. They're hooked up. What the hell does that mean?
They're holding hands.
Okay. I honestly, Joe, my first thought was they're doing drugs.
Ooh.
Like the fun drugs, not the cheating drugs. We're hooked up.
But they also sound like, but the way they're playing, they're probably doing the sad drugs. They're not even doing like the fun drugs. They're doing the downers.
Hooked up. The way he's saying it, it makes it sound like it's uppers. Like they're bringing greenies back.
Gotcha.
Wink, wink. Those. Because and they're not hooking up. Like that would be interesting. More of a Texas Rangers thing. Yeah.
Beat me to it. Beat me to it, Paul.
Or perhaps more of a Toronto Blue Jays thing, because this is the other story we have to talk about. Alex Cora, by the way, got a huge extension from the Boston Red Sox.
Cheater.
Interesting that Alex Cora has just completely got off scot-free for the cheating scandal, which he was fired for and then rehired for. Now the second highest paid manager in baseball. The Red Sox haven't been that good. Like this year they've been good. But there is a video going viral of Cal Quantrill of the Colorado Rockies in the midst of a 20-7 victory over the Red Sox saying, quote, you, I'm going to censor this a bit, took yourself to Happy Town in a bleeping parking lot, you dumb bleep, to Reese McGuire. It seems very specific to say to someone, right? Because it has led to the benches clearing. Well, honestly, I had never heard this story
before. You've never heard this story?
But Reese McGuire, former Blue Jays catcher, was once arrested for taking himself to Happy Town while watching porn in his SUV in a public parking lot.
I can't believe you've never heard that story before.
I have not, and honestly, I'm curious as to what store he thought he was going to be able to do that.
Oh, man. I'm... It took long enough for someone to yell that at him in a game, and I'm glad the... This is one of those moments where we're all confident in what in the lip readers out there. It's pretty clear what Cal said to Reese McGuire. And, you know, I respect Reese's teammates for standing up for him, but what are you supposed to say in defense?
I'd rather be that guy than pee my pants in public guy or poop my pants in public guy, to be perfectly honest. What?
I don't think so.
I would rather be this guy than peeing or pooping in public.
He went to jail. He got arrested.
I mean,
you'd rather be a sex offender than pee your pants in public. Yeah.
Is he a sex offender?
If you masturbate in public, you're a sex offender.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Never mind.
I don't know if he was in it because he was in his car. If he didn't like have to be on the registry, but yeah.
How do they see it? This is what I want to know.
He probably his car,
was he like
is his car shaking?
But if you're parked in a parking lot, I'm just thinking about the logistics here. Okay. If you're parked right outside the store and the cops walk by, that I would understand. But if you're in a parking lot,
Hey, is that guy in the Corolla looking at me?
Yeah.
What's he doing with his arm?
How would you know that? Okay, they said his sweatpants were around his ankles. How do you see sweatpants around someone's ankles when they're in a car?
I think it's I don't know how they got to the car, but he must not. He probably didn't realize he got walked up on by a cop when they.
Oh, that could also be.
Sir, what are you doing? So
I'm assuming drugs are involved.
Me too. I'm assuming he was like drunk, like she went home without him, and just like couldn't wait. Maybe it was like a store parking lot. That's even weirder. Like I have so many questions.
At least of all the parking lots to be in, that's a better one.
He was asked by police why he came to the parking lot instead of just going home.
Oh, came to the parking lot.
I don't know if he got there, if the cops interrupted him. Did not know. It just seemed like a good place. Hell yeah, dude.
Just, hey, man.
He's a sex offender, though.
Right time. Right time, right place for Reese McGuire.
Thing I want to know, in case any Johnny Laws are listening out there, first off, salute to your service. Second off, that in a parking lot makes you a sex offender. Does driving and somebody else doing something to you, does that make you a sex offender as well, if you will? Just a question. Again, I don't have the answers. I don't think Joe does. I don't think Sean does.
Yeah, I
just want to know from
question.
A legal
I think if you're,
expert.
I think if you're moving, it's different.
Well, people have been pulled over for that for sure.
That's like, true.
It's definitely illegal. I think I saw something recently where somebody got fined, I think, $500 for it. But I want to know if you also become a sex offender for that.
It's one of those things where it depends, like, what do you consider in public? You know?
On a road is in public.
Yeah. But if you're in your house with all the windows open, is that in public?
That's a good question. I don't know.
But if you have the windows closed, you're not in public. So there's a very weird line being drawn. Not a weird line, but someone had to draw that line at some point. Someone had to have, like, lawyers went to law school, graduated, and spent days and weeks debating this to make it a law to catch the Red Sox DH or whatever.
Yeah. Cal Quantrill, that's a great diss, though. Like,
if you have that in your back pocket,
yeah,
might as well drop it. What if you're Reese McGuire, what do you, like?
There's nothing you can say.
No, you're just kind of, you start a fight.
Sorry.
Like, all you can do is what happened. Is
actually.
You start a brawl.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's really all you can do in the moment. You can't just.
Sleep you, buddy.
You can't just take it. Yeah. Like, you can't just take it and, like, just go to first base.
What if you just leaned into it and you did that motion, you know, the.
Yeah.
That motion.
I'll do it I'll do it right after this game. How about that?
I'll do it right now.
Yeah.
I don't That'll care. Stop this fight.
I did that in a Costco parking lot. You think I care?
Oh, boy. That is baseball this afternoon, today, this week. I forget what the order is, but that's around baseball, everybody. All right. Gallant and George. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. CJ Stroud hype continues, and the hype of Stroud has me wondering – If anyone thinks he's overrated, I know our Twitch does, but there's a couple other quarterbacks that have been discussed the last couple of days that I feel like are in a similar category to Stroud. I'll explain a little bit more next. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, and 97.9 HD2. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. Guess what, guys? You can bet on anything at MyBookie.ag. You can bet on a little game called poker. Today, I remembered that there's four aces in a deck of cards. And guess what? You got a live dealer that's going to be giving you those aces at MyBookie.ag. Or with Blackjack, too. Aces are wild. Hell yeah. But you can also bet on the sports, like the Astros series this weekend against the Los Angeles Dodgers, or the Olympics, or who's even going to win the presidency. You got one of the candidates in town right now. If you want to bet on her, be unburdened by what has been. MyBookie.ag, the promo code is bet975. They're going to match your first deposit up to $1,000. Yes, right away. On top of that, if you are an existing customer with MyBookie already, that promo code is going to get you a sweet deposit bonus. It's MyBookie.ag. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag, promo code bet975.
We're back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
It's football time in Houston. No Texans training camp today. They're back on the practice field tomorrow and Saturday.
What, are they scared of the rain?
No, this is just a scheduled off day. Oh, okay.
I know.
Honestly, I mean, this would be a nice day for me to be out there. It has been, as I've said a couple of times, pleasant AF out there.
Yeah, I think you've got some like real karma coming though. You keep saying it and you're going to wake up and it's going to be 115.
I don't know if that's karma though. That's just,
how's it karma? I'm just saying what's happening.
I just feel like it's going to be hotter than it's ever. We're going to go from like, it's cooler than it's ever been during training
to
camp,
like a record August.
To a record August. And you're just going to be sweating.
Well, I think they're practicing in Ohio next week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So
we can talk all he wants.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, really, we just have to have tomorrow and Saturday be okay. Whatever the case.
Are the Texans really being, let's just say, battle-tested by the weather? Is iron sharpening iron?
By the way, you hear that at least twice in every single series of Texans press conferences, plus three dogs along the way. This is things that you notice if you watch press conferences and you take notes on them like a crazy person. But C.J. Stroud, the Houston Texans quarterback, is getting all of the hype. Hell, he even made it in to the most recent episode of Hard Knocks, talking about the New York Giants and their offseason.
Let's go to the last 10 years of pro football. 2014, Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, and Teddy Bridgewater. 2015, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. 2016, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch. 2017, Mitchell Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. 18, Baker, Sam, Josh, Lamar, 19, Kyler, Daniel, 20, Burrow, Tua, Justin, Love, Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, Fields, Jones, Pickett, Bryson, Stroud. How many of them hit in the last 10 years?
Oh, we're doing this.
Not a lot.
What do you take from that, Dames? Take the Stroud.
An intellectually dishonest radio host would take a look at that list of all the quarterbacks drafted since 2014 and tell you that Brian Daboll thinks C.J. Stroud is better than all of them.
He didn't say take Joe Burrow.
He didn't say take Patrick Mahomes.
He didn't say take Justin Herbert.
He didn't say take Lamar Jackson. He didn't say take Josh Allen.
He said take the Stroud.
He coached Josh Allen.
Mm.
He said take the Stroud.
He didn't say take the Daniel Jones.
That's also true.
You guys see that screen pass he threw yesterday at camp and went like 5 feet over his running back's head. Tough look. Boy. Tough look.
Yeah, Daniel Jones has been having a rough offseason.
Yeah. He's in shape, though. I've read that a bunch.
He's paid as well.
Yeah. He got paid. Looks good. Play good? Meh. Probably not.
But this is how much CJ Stroud hype there is right now on an episode of Hard Knocks about the New York Giants. Stroud, of all the quarterbacks that were just listed there by one of his underlings, Brian Daboll, head coach of the New York Giants, says, find me the Stroud going in to this past NFL draft. And by the way, they ended up with Malik Nabers. They didn't even get a quarterback.
Because there was no Stroud.
There was no Stroud.
So
from what everyone said.
He didn't take the Bo Nix.
That's true. Sean Payton would tell you that's the Stroud of this draft.
Yep.
But Sean Payton's used to lying. CJ Stroud, meanwhile, the hype continues. He has shot up the odd boards over the summer. He has leapfrogged Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, and Justin Herbert over the past few months. He has the second favorite status to win MVP behind Patrick Mahomes after opening at plus 1,400.
Mm-hmm.
So he's gone from 14-1 to what, Joe?
850-1.
Okay.
So 8.5-1. And then one of the websites, too, I think it was FanDuel. I have it on here somewhere. He is the most bet player to win MVP.
Wow.
So the public is the reason why these odds have changed, but he is. It's not just perception. But it's the fans and the bettors across sports are making him the most bet player to win MVP this year, which is interesting because one of the players we're going to talk here in this segment about with CJ Stroud, when these odds opened, him and Jordan Love were tied at plus 1,400 to be MVP in 2024. So Stroud has jumped all those guys. Part of it's the odds were good, but I also don't think it's going to slow down. Like, because the MVP, it's about you have to be at the top of your league pretty much, the one or the two seed. But it's also about the story. And what CJ Stroud did last year, if he can recreate that and they're a top two seed in the AFC, he's winning MVP. Like he is going to win instead of giving it to Mahomes again, unless Dak Prescott has an incredible season and the Cowboys are the one seed. CJ Stroud could easily win MVP this year.
Definitely trending that way. And the money is talking, if you will. I saw a graph. Look at this graph posted by Hayden Winks on Twitter. He works for Underdog Fantasy. I think that's Lance Zierlein's boys. CJ Stroud has a 1% interception ratio while being the most aggressive deep middle passer in the NFL. And if you take a look at the graph, Stroud has by far the highest percentage on his targets deep over the middle. So over the middle and 5+ air yards downfield. He's throwing it more than anybody, and he is converting it more than anybody. And I mean, he is far up in the top right of this graph. No one's really close. Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins, I guess, are the closest. Also, Brock Purdy and Lamar Jackson are fairly close.
Yeah, it's interesting to see him. When I looked at this graph, the first quarterback or team I was looking for was Kansas City. Because the one argument that a lot of people are going to make about CJ Stroud this year is that teams are going to take away all of that. That they're going to focus on, you know, what can you be good at? And because that's what Mahomes did early on, right? Like Mahomes, it was deep over the middle, deep downfield to Tyreek Hill. That was the way the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl. That's why he had all that great success. And then teams started changing their coverage against them. So Mahomes said it really has had to adjust in a major way. We're like, Mahomes on this list, he's towards the bottom, basically, of it. And
okay, so this list, there are some faults in it.
But I think what that kind of also tells you is that the Kansas City Chiefs have gone away from it and still had great success. And that's the ultimate question for CJ Stroud this year, is if they take away the deep ball, the deep middle of the field, where he had all that success with Tank Dell and Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz, is like what's the counterpunch for this year. Because if he's going to win MVP and they're going to reach the expectations that everyone has for them this season, or that most have them at this point now for this season, they're going to have to find a huge counter, because what they had last year is not going to be the same. Like, it's going to look very different, and that's why they have a five-headed monster as well, you know, to figure it out.
I'm very curious if we get to a point where people are saying that C.J. Stroud is overrated. It has not happened yet, and you truly cannot go very far on the internet without seeing something that is, as the kids say, glazing C.J. Stroud. I don't know what that means, so I'm allowed to say it. What?
I don't either.
I don't know, Sean, what it means, but I'm hijacking more Gen Z terms thanks to our intern, Ryan.
It's euphemistic, and it's really hard to explain.
You don't have to.
It's hard to explain on air because it is actually very graphic, involving oral sex.
Okay. Hang on. My bad. I did not know that.
I understand what it means now.
Yes. I thought it was.
I do. You got. Thank you for teaching us something.
Yes.
I figured
slobbing on the knob.
I don't know if you can do that either. What I knew, I thought that it was in reference to like the glaze of a donut. You know, everyone's just adding sweetness to the delicious treat.
I mean, some would say that's similar.
Okay. Well. Now we know something new. You learn something every day.
So that's what all those high schoolers are tweeting when they're writing blah blah blah, glazing this guy. That's what they're saying.
Well,
so are people going to call CJ Stroud overrated this year?
At some point, I think yes. I think if he has one bad week, if people are going to do it about the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and saying like they're done, they're definitely going to do it at CJ Stroud at some point this year.
The way that first,
it's a matter of when. Yeah. All those primetime games too. He's not going to win every single one of them.
No, the way that First Take and all these shows, the way that they're just actively talking about the Houston Texans for the first time in the history of the franchise, basically on a regular basis. You look at Fox or ESPN or whatever, and there's always a Texan segment on. It feels like.
Yeah.
And so the minute he falters, Stephen A. and Colin Cowherd and all these guys, Nick Wright, like, they are going to go on the attack.
Some will.
Immediately.
I'm curious as to who will try to be the C.J. Stroud guy.
Like defender?
Yeah.
Is Orlovsky?
It's not going to be Nick, because Nick is the Mahomes guy. Mm-hmm. I'm curious as to who is going to put themselves in the Stroud camp. I don't know that Cowherd is allowed to, since Cowherd believed Stroud never went through adversity, even though his dad was in jail when he was in middle school.
Who's the biggest Stroud defender? Probably Shannon Sharp.
I don't know.
They speak pretty.
I feel like it's Mina Kimes. It's Dan Orlovsky. Yeah. It's Ryan Clark. It's one of those.
Yeah, Mina's not going to back off Stroud.
Yeah,
no shot.
Well, the thing with the First Take guys is that it works when one guy's the defender, one guy's the antagonist, is the attacker.
Dude, Stephen A. hates the Cowboys so much, and that's become such a part of his brand. Maybe defending Stroud relentlessly over Dak is going to be the way that he's the ultimate Stroud defender.
The tricky thing is, while there's a lot of hype for the Texans this offseason, they still, in my opinion, are not nationally relevant yet.
I was going to say, I don't think the Cowboys-Texans rivalry, like, I don't think that plays nationally. I don't think they care.
Yeah, I think the Texans have to be really, really good for it to care.
Yeah.
And depending on what happens on that Sunday night game or whatever it is, That if the Texans win that game, it'll become more nationally relevant.
100%. Now, while we're talking about C.J. Stroud, there's a couple other quarterbacks who get discussed as overrated all of the time, and it almost always seems to create some sort of race war.
Yes.
These are the two guys. First off, Lamar Jackson, who I think is a very good quarterback, but he keeps having these bad moments in the playoffs, specifically the AFC Championship game against the Kansas City Chiefs. John Harbaugh is the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, and at a press conference fairly recently, he had this to say about the Ravens quarterback.
The vision for Lamar Jackson, and it's a vision, it's something you see it like it's already happened. You can see it like it's already been done. The victory has already been won when you pour into a vision. And the vision that we have together is that Lamar Jackson is going to become and be known and be recognized as the greatest quarterback ever to play in the history of the National Football League.
Okay. Now he's overrated. He wasn't.
He is definitely overrated entirely because of John Harbaugh saying that.
John Harbaugh's glazing, dude.
I guess I already know the answer to this question from what I've learned about you. But Peyton Manning, at one point, I'm guessing, you would have deemed as one of the most overrated quarterbacks in the NFL because of his playoff failures.
Yes, 100%.
And that's where I think that's where Lamar's at, where Peyton struggled to win the big one. And even though he beat, you know, Chicago, it was Rex Grossman, and he got dinged for that for a while.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comparison because you've also got two MVPs for Lamar Jackson, and Manning, I'm sure, had a couple of MVPs, but he had some really bad playoff games. And eventually he didn't, but Manning in the playoffs was not like Manning in the regular season. Mm-hmm. It's not to say Manning was bad or anything like that. Manning's an all-time great, no doubt about it. But I always felt that he was put on this pedestal, and while Tom Brady was not, early on in his career, and yes, I was biased. I grew up in Massachusetts, so I was a little bit biased. I will fully admit it. And I also rooted against Peyton Manning when he was with Tennessee. So maybe I had a little bit of a bias against Peyton Manning. But I always felt like he was put on a pedestal above everybody, and it's like people forgot about some of those struggles that he would have in the playoffs and just sort of overlook it. And like going into the next year, I remember like there was this playoff game where the Colts smoked either the Chiefs or the Broncos, and they were playing the Patriots the next week on the road, and they were favored to win. And the Patriots had a bunch of backup corners, and the Colts scored 3 points after the rules had been changed to help the receivers get off jams.
And that's why I put Lamar in the overrated category, because I would have agreed with the Peyton Manning sentiment back then. Lamar's got to win in the playoffs. Like, he's James Harden. He's Peyton Manning. He's a regular season stat filler. And he's a great quarterback for fantasy football. But he's not in my top five of guys I'm picking to help me win a Super Bowl right now.
We got to do something about Lamar Jackson's mud butt. Because he left practice after 1 hour yesterday.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's the same issue that he had to leave that game for a little bit in.
Does he have the cholera?
I don't know, but he seems to have stomach issues a lot. Like, that's the first thing I thought of when it said, Lamar Jackson lasts just 1 hour in his return to Ravens practice. I'm like, oh, man, this guy had to poo again.
Dude, just say you don't want to practice.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't high school recess or high school.
Well, he tried to, but apparently he looked shaky, and then, he left.
Yeah, that's the thing. I guess he was going to try to gut through it. And then, you can't really you can't really show up to practice and then leave without like an excuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what is he doing in the offseason that's making him sick to start the year every year?
No, I think he's got
sick in the middle of the year too.
He's
just sick all the time.
He might have the IBS or something like that. Listen, there's a lot of people out there. Lamar Jackson as a spokesperson for IBS. That's something you can't really do if you're a quarterback because you'll get roasted whenever you have a bad moment.
Because I'm
but he
already,
should endorse it.
I'm already coming up with the idea of when they lose in the playoffs.
You're going to show the ad, yeah.
Yeah, because he poops himself. He poops himself in the playoffs every year. The jokes write themselves.
More people say Lamar Jackson is overrated than CJ Stroud. Now, we'll see what happens. Also, Josh Allen, apparently overrated. There was an anonymous source that wrote this. Check this. It's an anonymous executive who wrote this. In a article, quote, Allen's 47 interceptions since 2020 are the most in the league. One of the more overrated players in the NFL. Immense talent, but makes a lot of mistakes. He's underdeveloped at winning at the line of scrimmage, tends to lock onto targets, more of a thrower than precision passer, and he forces throws into traffic. Now, I don't know if Brandon Bean actually saw those comments from an anonymous scout in an article written by, I believe, Sports Illustrated. But Brandon Bean, general manager of the Buffalo Bills, had this to say when asked if Josh Allen is overrated.
I just say if you're not going to put your name on it, we really shouldn't validate it. I know it gets validated because it's on ESPN, and I'm not a fan of that style, and I wish the writer wouldn't include a comment like that. I don't think Josh deserves that. And again, I'm biased, but. I'm tired of hearing it. Sal, there's idiots everywhere. I don't know. Until you put your name on it, I don't know. I think he's done plenty.
Yeah, your coaching staff told you last year, Brandon Bean, that when they had Josh Allen stop throwing the football and running the ball more with James Cook, what happened? Oh, you won a bunch of football games. Josh Allen also very overrated.
Coincidentally, when Stephon Diggs' numbers went down, to what Joe said, yeah, the Bills' offense was better. They were throwing it less.
Because he's got the Brett Favre syndrome.
These two quarterbacks, whenever they are called overrated, there will be a bunch of generally race baiters that seem to throw this out there because they know that Allen, because all the whites will come and defend him, or Josh Allen, because a bunch of black people will come and defend him. Mm. Whenever that gets thrown out there as one of these guys is overrated, it is very fun to sit back and eat some popcorn on the internet.
Also, Brandon Bean, every time a GM goes after anonymous sources and stuff, when, of course, it's about their guy. It's like, so Brandon Bean just doesn't talk to reporters anonymously off the record? Like, he doesn't give quotes off the record giving his opinion on things? He just doesn't do it?
Like, yeah. Mike Sando does his quarterback tiers every year, and it should be coming out soon. He gets GMs and scouts and coaches to be a part of it every single year.
He gets like 100 of them.
You're telling me that Brandon Bean or someone like very close to the Bills is not a part of that exercise where it's all anonymous? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's always something where it's like, oh, if you're not going to put your name on it, then don't say anything. And then he gets up and then calls, the local beat writer or something, he calls Adam Schefter or something. Like, they all do it. It's so soapboxy, and I'm sick of it.
Clean up aisle me. That was actually from an ESPN article. NFL executive coaches and scouts ranking the NFL's top 10 quarterbacks for 2024. We'll dive into that list tomorrow. It is Gallant and Georgie's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes behind the glass. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.